Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Chiefs will try to bounce back after a disappointing loss last week in an Arrowhead to the Indianapolis Colts, 23-7. Now they go on the road in the division to close out the regular season against the San Diego Chargers. We know this. Kansas City's headed to the postseason, and they'll be the 5 seed in the AFC bracket. For San Diego, this game could mean everything to them. We'll get you ready for the San Diego game like no other show can. Under the helmet, we'll have one of the real personalities in the Chiefs locker room, a guy whose role is kind of understated in helping the Chiefs' offensive success. We'll talk with fullback Anthony Sherman. And in our Coach's Corner segment, we'll actually go to the general manager of the team, John Dorsey. He'll talk about assembling this 2013 team, what the season has meant to him, and he'll also tell you why the Chiefs' kingdom should be optimistic about the postseason. And finally, it was long overdue. Curley Culp finally inducted into the National Football League Hall of Fame. He was ahead of his time and revolutionary in the way he played defensive tackle and nose tackle in the trenches. It's all coming up next right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Some say that the position is going the way of the dinosaur, but not so much in Kansas City. The fullback is an integral part of this Kansas City Chiefs offense. And what a fullback the Chiefs have. Not only an excellent player, but one of the real personalities on the team in the locker room and on the field. Let's go under the helmet with a mic'd up fullback, Anthony Sherman.
For the most part, everyone just has to execute and do their job and do their job to the best of their ability. For me and Jamal, we pretty much have the same read on the play. We, you know, we read the outside linebacker, and if he stretches, we know we cut it up. And I'm trying to work for outside hat to give Jamal the corner, but that guy flew over the top, so I just worked with him, took him where he wanted to go, and Jamal made a nice read and cut off my butt and, you know, just did the rest himself like he always does.
It's our quarter. Let's go. Come on.
He's such an instinctive runner, and he sets up so many blocks and makes your job a lot easier. He gives you all the credit, and you know he just goes out there and he's incredible to watch. Even when I'm not out there on the field, it's just fun. You know, he's one of those type. He's the type of player that you give him the ball and he can break it 90 yards. No problem.
Let's go, guys. Hey. Let's make a play. Let's get the ball out on the first one. What do you think?
Go.
All right, here we go. Hit squad. 1, 2, 3. Hit squad. Let's go.
Hey, Ryan, where you going, Ryan?
Left.
Hey, he's kicking the left. He's kicking the left. Hey, you feel this weather? I'm telling you right now, when we lay the foot on these guys, it's going to hurt 10 times more.
I just, you know, try to give them as much information that I know and, you know, try to be another coach on the field for Coach Tobe and Kev and just have, you know, give those guys the most knowledge possible and just try to help them out and just run down there like a crazy man and have some fun doing it.
Hey, Wedger's coming on 4 and 3. Right side.
All right.
Me, it was coming on me and MDM.
For the most part, on kickoff, it's you know, go down there being instinctive and trying to make a play inside the 20.
Trindon Holliday is back, so dangerous, takes it a yard deep in the end zone. He gets to the right side, he gets to the 20, and Sherman's got him. Puts his shoulder right into Trindon Holliday at the 21-yard line.
Hey, Sherman, someone once told me you're the best fullback in the NFL.
Shut up, man. That's true. Hey, there's not a lot of us.
We're a family. You know, we're so close in that room. We're always joking around with each other. But, I mean, Coach Bieniemy is one of the hardest workers in the NFL, has to be. One of the best running backs coaches I've ever been around. And the effort and time that he puts in and the game plans that he helps out with and the information that he gives us is incredible. You know, he game plans them so hard that it's he's pretty much doing our job for us, and he's just letting us go down there and execute. And it's so easy when he puts us in such a good situation.
Man, that energy. You know, it feels like, no disrespect to the offense, but man, when we come on the field, it just feel like it's a defensive party, man. It feel like every stand just raised in their seats. They don't want to sit down while the defense on the field. They play the tomahawk chant. We just feel it in our pores, man, and just takes us to a whole new level. I guarantee, like, we're not just saying it just to say it, man. The fans, they instill something in us when we're on that field. That's why we fly around and just play hellacious football.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Kansas City Chiefs. By Truman Medical Center, TMC and the Chiefs partners for a healthy community. Hy-Vee, a helpful smile in every aisle. And by the Chiefs Tailgate Party, presented by Bud Light. Get your tickets today at primesport.com/Chiefs. Don't go away, because when we come back, I'll sit down with General Manager John Dorsey. And our KCChiefs.com reporter, Rachel Sanchi, will bring you the focus points as Kansas City goes to San Diego in the final week of this memorable 2013 regular season.
Chiefs losing 23-7 at home to a team that you will probably face in 2 weeks in the playoffs.
You know, they were the better team yesterday. It's important that we figure out how we can coach better and how we can play better and go out there and play good football.
Well, it's week 17, and the playoff-bound Chiefs will travel to San Diego for the final regular season game of the 2013 season. The Chargers have a lot on the line on Sunday, needing a win and some help to make to the postseason. The Chiefs are locked into the fifth seed, awaiting a matchup with the Colts or the Bengals. But there's nothing better than eliminating a division rival from playoff contention. And you can bet the Chiefs would love to do just that to Phillip Rivers and the Chargers in Week 17. Here are the 3 points to focus on for this week's matchup. First, reigniting the Chiefs' pass rush. After terrorizing opposing offensive lines over the first half of the season, the Chiefs' sack totals have fallen off pace in recent weeks, and the Chiefs' defense hasn't been the same as a result. Pro Bowler Justin Houston has missed several weeks after dislocating his elbow in Week 12, and opposing quarterbacks are compensating for the Chiefs' rush, getting rid of the ball quickly and bringing in extra blockers. Finding creative ways to make Phillip Rivers uncomfortable in the pocket will be a big key in Sunday's game. Second, containing the Chargers' receiving threats. In the Chiefs' Week 12 matchup with the Chargers, Keenan Allen had a season-high 9 receptions for 124 yards, and Eddie Royal added 4 receptions for 87 yards of his own. That game was decided by a game-winning touchdown catch by yet another Chargers wide receiver, Shea Ejiratutu, with just 24 seconds left. It's probable that whoever the Chiefs face in the wildcard round will also have talented receivers, capable of presenting problems to any defense. Shutting down a talented Chargers receiving core in Sunday's rematch could go a long way in getting this Chiefs defense ready for whoever they'll face in the playoffs. Finally, getting back on track in the turnover battle. Even with a disappointing 4 turnovers on Sunday against the Colts, the Chiefs still lead the AFC in turnover differential at plus 17. The Chiefs have been at their best when their defense has played aggressive this season, forcing an AFC-leading 35 turnovers. That, combined with only 18 giveaways on offense, has been a recipe for success for the Chiefs so far in 2013. Forcing Phillip Rivers and the Chargers' offense into mistakes will likely be a big point of emphasis for the Chiefs on Sunday.
John, going into the final regular season week and also going into the playoffs, but I got to ask you first, just looking back at the last 52 weeks, what goes through your mind, heart, and soul?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of things. It's first, I can't thank the Hunt family enough for allowing me to be in the kingdom. And then now that I'm here, It's everything and more than I thought it would be about. I mean, the people that work here are phenomenal. The team is phenomenal. The community is phenomenal. It's everything that we ever expected. Now, when you reflect back, when we first got here, you know, we created a plan. For the most part, that plan, from a personnel perspective, has been achieved. By no means are we going to sit and rest on our laurels, because all that we've done is just one step. I mean, we just got a ticket. We haven't really done anything yet. Just to be reunited with Andy again, to watch him energized, watch him lead these men, bring this collective group of guys together. There's not a selfish person on that team. They're all willing to understand what's at stake, what they have to do, and then to watch him grow and mature. And here we are today. They've developed, they've achieved, they've overcome. But my God, there's a lot more at stake here now.
Let's talk about the lot more at stake. When you were in Green Bay, you had such postseason success. And one thing that impressed me, you were always making moves. You never stood pat. To be successful in the postseason, what has to happen?
Well, we have to be consistent with what we do. We have to play at a high level all three phases. We have to take what we've learned from adverse moments, be able to overcome at certain spaces, and continue forward. Everybody's got to be refocused, re-energized, galvanized for the one common goal that's at stake here. And you know what? Let's take a run at it and see what happens. That's all you can ask for. Let's be true to our motto, one game at a time. Let's play this game this weekend. And then let's go into the playoffs and let's see where we stand.
The life you live, you're always looking at today, but you always have to look at tomorrow. You've made deep runs into the playoffs in your career, so has Andy. How do you balance that of going, hey, we got to win this week, it's the biggest game ever, and yet you got to look at tomorrow, the next day, and the next month?
Well, one, it's discipline, it's time management. From my perspective, when you have a head coach like Andy Reid, and when you have a coaching staff that we've assembled here, those guys are in the groove. And rest assured that the personnel side is going to do their part as well. Once you get complacent and content, you don't want to ever be like that because you really haven't done anything. So, of course, we're going to do everything to find a player here or find a player there. In fact, that presents itself. Hopefully, we'll be healthy and clean as we go along here. We are preparing for the future. And what would that be? That would be preparing for the future of unrestricted free agency, for future signings. From the college side of it, with 35 bowl games, our scouts will be at certain games, identifying certain players. Next thing you know, you flip around, and February 1st, we're in the draft meetings, and we're going to begin to build that draft board. And then we're going to prepare for unrestricted free agency, and we're going to prepare for the league season. And then, you know what, we're going to take this program into year two and see if we can execute the plan that we want to do for year two. That's what our goal is here.
Stay right here, because when we return, we'll dive into the career of one of the key contributors on those prestigious Chiefs defenses, the late 1960s and early 1970s. Hall of Fame nose tackle Curly Culp. Welcome back to this holiday week edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. You know, many times we hear about the underappreciated players in the National Football League, particularly when it comes to NFL Hall of Fame balloting. There are several Chiefs that come to mind that we think should be in the Hall. And sometimes the voters get it right. And such is the case of nose tackle Curly Culp. Culp really revolutionized the game and the way he played in the trenches at nose tackle or in the gaps against guards and centers. You know, we're so excited here about Dontari Poe and the role that he has in the Chiefs defense. Well, he's got a prototype. Culp was a wrecking crew in the late 1960s and early 1970s in one of the best defenses in NFL history. The Chiefs won Super Bowl IV and now have five Pro Football Hall of Famers from that defense. Let's look at the Hall of Fame career of Curly Culp.
Curly Culp was a terrific football player. I think Jack Rudney, our center, said that all centers in the league should have to play in practice for 1 week against Curly Culp.
He loves to win. And I used to tell him, Curly, this guy said he's going to knock you all over the field. He'd be laughing. You will see after the game. I want you to check him after the game. And you check him after the game, this guy's been beat up.
I guess he'd be small today at 265 pounds, but he wasn't small back in those days.
I mean, he was quick.
He'd been a championship wrestler in college.
And so he knew leverages, he knew quickness, he knew all of these things.
And he used that skill set to really dominate the line of scrimmage.
I mean, you put him on the center, or you can put him on a tackle. Hey, he's all over. Put him in the gap.
He was an unbelievable athlete, and I think an athlete who, in a lot of ways, was overlooked because he played with some great players.
And the 1969 Chiefs defense was, I think, arguably one of the 10 best defenses in pro football history.
Who's next to him? Buck Buchanan. When you looked at our linebacking core, were they any good? I'd say so.
Buck Buchanan on one side, Bobby Bell on the other side, Willie Lanier behind him. Those great defenses that the Chiefs had during that era would not have worked without Curley. Curley was really the anchor that made those defenses what they were.
Willie Lanier in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Bobby Bell in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Jim Lynch didn't get enough credit for how great a football player that he was. So that tells you something about the talent that we had in Super Bowl IV, that the people finally recognize how great a talent we had.
For many years, his contributions to the Chiefs in the National Football League were not recognized. A few years ago, we inducted him into the Chiefs Hall of Fame, which I think was a very fitting honor. And now the Pro Football Hall of Fame has circled back.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Curley Culp for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I've learned that there are many good people in the world who love to play this sport and recognize the value of sports as an avenue for building character. So in life, as in sports, we should play hard and clean and always do our best to succeed.
Much of Curley's Hall of Fame success can be accredited to legendary Chiefs head coach Hank Stram, a Hall of Famer in his own right. In Super Bowl IV, facing a heavily favored Minnesota Vikings team, Stram found a new way to use one of his most versatile defensive linemen.
NFL teams at that time really almost exclusively employed a 4-3 defense. And Hank came up with a concept where he put Curley right over the center. The center for the Vikings was a much smaller player, and he knew that that player would not be able to block Curley, and that proved to be the case.
Once we started playing like that triple stack, nobody could block it.
And the Vikings quarterback by the end of the game was literally black and blue. He'd been hit so many times from Chiefs players, and I think a lot of that goes to Curley's excellence in that game. And that was really the first time that a team had employed the 3-4 defense.
Curley Culp, no doubt, made an impression on the league that day, as the principles of the triple stack defense has grown to become a commonly used alignment still in the NFL. But Culp also left an impression on the Chiefs organization, one that is felt by the team before every game at Arrowhead Stadium. An image of Curley leading the team onto the field that historical day covers the hallway doors from the locker room to the field. It serves as a constant reminder for this current Chiefs team of their ultimate goal, to run onto the field in the Super Bowl, just like Curley Culp and the 1969 Chiefs. Thanks for joining us on this week's show. Kansas City tries to get a division win, tries to get a 12th win, and try to get a road win this week against the San Diego Chargers. And there's a lot of possibilities here for San Diego. We know Kansas City will be the 5 seed, and it would be great for the Chiefs to go into the playoffs with some momentum. And by the way, next week we'll get you ready like no show can for the Chiefs' playoff possibilities. We'll know the opponent, we'll know the time, and we'll get you set. During this holiday week, I want to take time to thank all of the folks here at 65TPT who bust their tail all year round to make these shows possible. They've won dozens of Emmys, and they deserve every one of them. They're a huge part of the Chiefs' kingdom. Join us next week. We'll get you ready for the playoffs here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Kansas City Chiefs, by Truman Medical Center, TMC and the Chiefs partners for a healthy community, Hy-Vee, a helpful smile in every aisle, and by the Chiefs Tailgate Party, presented by Bud Light. Get your tickets today at primesport.com/Chiefs.
toss power trap.